thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for being here. Our first class, as we know, has been on the Holy Eucharist. The concentration in our class on the Eucharist is on the real presence. As we said in the beginning of our classes on the Holy Eucharist, the reason for these classes, the immediate reason, is a direct verbatim order of the present Holy Father. Twice called to Rome, as I've told you, Holy Father seriously fears for the survival of the Catholic Church in more than one diocese in the United States. Mass attendance in America since the close of the Second Vatican Council, mass attendance has dropped by 75%. Nationally. The Archdiocese of Detroit has closed 42 parishes. The Archdiocese of Chicago has just closed its 100th parish. The massive loss of faith among once professed Catholics in America is among the greatest sorrows of our Holy Father. And the loss of faith is especially manifest in the traumatic drop in attendance at Sunday Mass, in the rare adoration of the Holy Eucharist. Most Catholic churches in the United States are closed, except for a few hours during the week. Many dioceses have no daily masses. I was asked by my Jesuit superiors whether I could offer the 6:30 morning Mass at Jesu Parish at least 2 weeks a month. I said I could. I was told by my superiors the morning Mass at Jesu, which for years had been the custom, would have been dropped. I have told superiors I cannot be there 2 weeks of each month. The principal sign of the loss of faith is in the Holy Eucharist. What we'll do now in the first class, covering the real presence, the questions that we are asking in this first class, as I know you realize, are all based on the encyclical of Pope Paul VI. On the mystery of faith. I believe we finished question 44. Am I correct? Let me read the question and briefly give an answer. Did not Christ die once and for all for our sins? Yes. Christ's death on the cross merited all the graces that a sinful world needs to be redeemed. But the sacrifice of the Mass and the reenactment of Calvary communicates these graces which the Savior won for us on the first Good Friday. In other words, why the Mass? Because we are Catholics and we believe that Christ's death on the cross merited objectively all the graces that the human race needs to be saved. But these graces must be communicated, and the principal channel for the communication of these graces, the principal channel is the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist has the triple sacrament, the present sacrament, the communion sacrament, and the sacrifice sacrament. Question 45. When did Christ institute the mystery of the Eucharist? He instituted the mystery of the Eucharist at the Last Supper. One of the evangelists tells us, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the apostles, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for a commemoration of me." So also with the chalice. When supper was ended, this chalice, by the way, this cup is nowhere in Scripture. Cup was put in by the International Commission for English and the Liturgy. I have checked all the modern languages that I could research. Not a single modern language uses the word cup at the consecration except English. The word is not cup. The word is chalice. "This chalice," said Jesus, "is the New Testament in my blood, which is to be shed for you." Let's be clear. Christ not only changed bread and wine into his own body and blood on Holy Thursday night. Christ instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist by pronouncing those words. In other words, Christ changing bread and wine into his own living body and blood was intended, and his words the church has already defined, was intended to perpetuate the Holy Eucharist until the last day. Question 47. When did the church put into practice Christ's commandment to offer the sacrifice of the Mass? Answer. The church faithfully executed Christ's intention from the first days of the primitive church. She did so by her adherence to the teaching of the apostles and through her gatherings summoned to celebrate the Eucharistic sacrifice. Hear it. There are now book after book all purportedly Catholic, some used in seminaries, which claim that the sacrifice of the Mass was never offered in the first century. That is a demonic lie. Words, Christ instituted not just the Eucharist in changing bread and wine into his own living body and blood. He instituted the sacrifice of the Mass at the Last Supper. Let's be clear. The Mass is a sacrament. Sure, it's a sacrifice, but it's a sacrament. How is the Mass a sacrament? We define sacrament as a visible rite which Christ instituted that confers the grace which that sacrament signifies. What is the sacramental signification of the Mass? It is the double consecration. That is the sacrament of the Mass. What does Christ do? He died on the cross physically. How? By bleeding to death. Christ could not die in any other way. He could not die of a disease or a virus. He could only die by being murdered and bleeding to death. What then is the sacrament of the Mass? The sacrament of the Mass is Christ's readiness to bleed to death, symbolized by the double consecration. In other words, Christ's living body is separately consecrated from the consecration of his living blood. Why? To signify that in every Mass, and this is the Church's infallible teaching, in every Mass Christ would die. Christ is willing to die. Christ is ready to die. That's what the double consecration signifies. Christ's readiness to shed his blood as he did on Calvary and thus died. Question 48. What does St. Luke say about this practice? St. Luke carefully testifies about what happened from Pentecost Sunday on. The new converts, this is Luke speaking in his Acts of the Apostles. The new converts to Christianity, quotes, occupy themselves continually with the apostles' teaching, their fellowship in the breaking of bread, and the fixed times of prayer. In the vocabulary of St. Luke, this is the Church's infallible teaching. In the vocabulary of St. Luke, the expression, breaking of bread, is synonymous with, it stands for, it describes the offering of the sacrifice of the Mass. Question. When was the first Mass offered after Holy Thursday night? When? On Easter Sunday evening, remember? were the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. He had a conversation with Christ. Who, shall we say, caught up with him? That's the risen Savior. He walked along with them and asked him, what were you talking about? About Jesus of Nazareth. Haven't you heard? We thought he was the Messiah. But our leaders crucified him. And Jesus then, continuing the conversation, explained to them the Messiah was to die. For that Messiah who was to be murdered by his own people would rise from the dead. The conversation continued all the way to Emmaus. Then they sat down and continued the conversation. But during the conversation, what did Jesus do? He offered the sacrifice of the Mass. In the language of St. Luke, the disciples recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. I repeat, that is St. Luke's language for the offering of Mass. And we need to know that Christ instituted the sacrifice of the Mass at the Last Supper, and from the earliest church, the faithful assisted at Mass, as I've said, I'm sure, more than once, for the first 300 years, assisted at Mass and received Holy Communion every day. Well, because it was the age of martyrs. And as we said, remember, earlier this month, this is the age of martyrs. Either you assisted Mass frequently and received Holy Communion very frequently, or you will not survive as Catholics in today's world. We need the Eucharist to remain faithful to Jesus Christ. That's why, as we've said before, for the first time in the Church's history, never before has a sovereign pontiff, our present Holy Father, mandated that the code of canon law now, not just reluctantly allow, but encourage the faithful to receive communion twice on the same day, provided the second communion is received at Mass. Only the Holy Eucharist will preserve a Catholic bishop, a Catholic priest, a Catholic religious, a Catholic layperson in the world today. That's why we're having these classes. I repeat, because the Holy Father told me to. As he said, unless faith in the real presence is restored in America, I fear for the survival, I repeat, of many dioceses in the United States. I could name the dioceses, but I won't. Where the Holy Father fears may not survive. Either Catholics keep their faith in the real presence and live that faith by assisting at Mass and receiving Jesus Christ, or as the early church would never have made it without the Eucharist. So as we enter the 21st century, I think I've told you this. Cardinal Ratzinger couldn't have been more plain. If the loss of faith in the real presence continues, I predict that the Catholics of the whole world will one day be able to be put all into Piazza of St. Peter's, which provides for a standing capacity of about 75,000 people. Question 40. What were the benefits which the early Christians obtained from participation in the Mass? From the Mass, they obtained such spiritual strength, they were said of them, I quote, "There was one heart and one soul in all the company of believers." This phenomenon of selfless charity was the single most effective witness that the early Christians offered to their contemporaries. It was also the means that Christ used to convert so many pagans of the Roman Empire to Christianity. You won't expect me to give you the next sentence. That's why, in the early church, first century, contraception was condemned, and no Christian practiced contraception. And no many Christians separated, divorced, and I use the verb remarried. It was the virtue of charity manifested in the practice of chastity that converted the pagan world of the first three centuries, that did everything in its power to burn to death, starve, throw to the lions. The laws of the Roman Empire, all the laws of the Roman Empire were directed against the Christians. How did they survive when so many tens of thousands were killed by the practice of selfless love shown especially in Heliot, in loving chastity? And this is why one dies after another is now having such a pathetic loss of membership in the church. membership in the parish, participation among the priests. In other words, the early church grew because the early church practiced the virtues of charity and chastity. Believe you me, what I'm saying in these classes is not pious poetry. The church will survive only where there are still bishops. I know what I'm saying. Bishops who believe in the real peasants. Priests who believe in the real peasants. Religious and the laity who believe in the real peasants. Question 50. What does St. Paul say about the sacrifice of the Mass? He warns the Christians of all times against participating in the Eucharistic sacrifice and participating in the pagan sacrifices of their day. Believe you me, Pope Paul VI, the document on which this catechism is a commentary, he was deeply, that's Paul VI, deeply concerned about the preservation of the Church after the Second Vatican Council, unless Catholics retain their faith in the real peasants and in the sacrifice of the Mass. Question 51. How important is St. Paul's warning today? It is most important. There is a growing tendency among professed Catholics who may attend the sacrifice of the Mass to compromise with the secularism in modern society. In effect, they are trying to do the impossible, to profess their Catholic faith by attending Mass, while their lives, by profession of self-idolatry, which is the prevalent paganism of our day. Is it any wonder, as I've said before, the drop in attendance at Mass in the United States is 75% and increasing constantly? You don't live the kind of life that most Americans are living and remain a Catholic. You may go to Mass, you may go to Communion, but as the Pope and the strongest language at his disposal, our present Roman Pontiff, who warned our American bishops on his first pilgrimage to our country, as I've said more than once, in the name of God, get your people to go to confession. That's why, pardon me for saying this, I was asked if I could hear confessions from 11:30 until 12:20. But I was there hearing confessions. I think they're about 1:30. Okay. And there were people still reading. I felt guilty. Christ is God who became man to save sinners. And he issued the sacrament of confession for sinners. That means for you and me.